proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study. We continue our look at God's servant in the book of Isaiah by focusing our attention on the 53rd chapter of Isaiah and verse number 3. In this session, we'll delve into the concept of God's servants having borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. By using that phrase, Isaiah introduced the concept of substitutionary atonement. In other words, that God's servants would suffer for the sins of others. The Hebrew noun rendered as griefs, chali, included more than just metaphysical distress. It could also involve suffering on account of affliction, or in the case of calamity. That's how the word was used in the 5th and 6th chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes. The word chali also served as a synonym for the term makov, which is rendered sorrows, in the same verse. By including both words in that same sentence, Isaiah emphasized the extent of the suffering that God's servant would experience. Also focusing on the fact that God's servant underwent those agonies on behalf of the Jewish people. At this juncture, the text in Isaiah introduced two other personal pronouns, he and our. For those who argue that God's servant represented the Jewish nation, the presence of these pronouns gives a problem. If the term he in Isaiah 53 depicted the Jews as God's servant, who then did the term our represent in the phrase our sorrows? Some commentators might contend that the pronouns he and our portrayed the kings that were mentioned in the final verse of Isaiah chapter 52. But that interpretation would limit the effect of what God's servant did. Why would he focus on ministering primarily to Gentile monarchs? Especially in the light of his statement found in Isaiah chapter 40. The statement that reads that, quote, the nations are as a drop of the bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance, unquote. At this juncture, Isaiah shifted his emphasis to how the Jewish people reacted to the servant's sufferings. The prophet wrote that, quote, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Again, we have two different pronouns, we and him. If the we refers to the Jewish people, as it did in that context, then the word him could only refer to some other individual. That individual would be Jesus Christ. What about what the servant of Isaiah 53 experienced? He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Naga, the Hebrew verb rendered the stricken, appeared in 2 Kings 15 in connection with God punishing King Uzziah with leprosy. Naka, the word translated as smitten, denotes someone who God had plagued, as it's used in 1 Samuel 5 with reference to the affliction that God sent upon the Philistines. Ana, the verb translated as afflicted, was used to describe the tribulations that the Israelites went in Egypt, according to Deuteronomy 26. Why would a just God allow such undeserved agonies to fall upon an unoffending servant? The travails that the servant would experience comprise part of the determinant counsel and foreknowledge of God. In other words, the servant would suffer, not on behalf of his own errors, but on behalf of the sins of others, a point brought out later in Isaiah chapter number 53. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.